I miss her.
Okay. You don't have to say anything because we're all being recorded here now. Mother's Day is ahead of us. So whoever hears this, we're thinking about you, but we don't want to give away anything that is said here. Confidentiality, you know. Okay, we got our worksheet number 15. How much longer are we going to go with this study? I looked at it here today, and I'm thinking that we will finish chapter 45. And we have to look at what it was like when Jacob came back with his whole family to Egypt. And so we're getting close to the end. Probably the very last study we have is going to be just questions about Jacob and things that happened in Egypt. We're just going to kind of do that together, and that'll be our last time. And that might be in a couple of weeks, just so you kind of know that. And then we'll take a little break, and then we'll start up again on something else after that. So, last week's study, we're taking a look at, there's five review questions, pretty easy ones here. So if you don't know the answers, you just ask Bobby Berry.
Good.
That's right.
But remember,
valedictorian, saloon
car. Oh yeah, that's right. You can always pass it to somebody else.
My crown has slipped.
So here is the first question, and I'm only kidding, Bobby. I'll take the pressure off you right away. So, number one, it says, finally, Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. That's where we left off last week. What were his emotions when this took place? What do we see that happened when he revealed himself to his brothers?
He cried.
Yeah, he turned into a crybaby.
Yeah,
right?
I like that.
He wept.
Yeah,
he wept. He cried. I'm sure that was a big, huge relief. He's been wanting to say this for a long time. But he wept. And then what were the emotions of his brothers? Were they the same?
Terrified.
Some of them were fearful. They were afraid. Some were a little more cooperative in believing, but I think in the end,
guilty.
Well, yeah, that's going to come. But in the end, I'm thinking that all of them would have just wept together when they found out the truth of him being who he is. But there were all kinds of emotions. There was fear and confusion to being, I think it was awesome and unbelievable that this is their brother Joseph. All different kinds. Number three, it says, Joseph saw that God had sent him ahead to blank their lives.
Save.
Yeah, save their lives. Think of that. Joseph saw that God had sent him ahead to save their lives. Because if he would not have been there doing what he was doing, what do you think would have happened to all of his relatives and kinfolk?
Starved.
They were starved to death. You know, have any of you ever seen a starving person?
I've seen pictures.
Yeah, I mean, what do you notice about a person that's starving?
Their bones.
Very skinny. Okay. What else?
Their extended stomachs.
Yeah.
That's so
doesn't
weird.
Make any sense, does it?
No.
When you think of it, they got bulging bellies. So it looks like they're full, but they're not. What happens to their hair? It can fall out or it can change color. Can turn yellow. Hair can turn yellow through starvation. And of course, your eyes get really sunken, don't they? When that happens too. There's a lot of different things that take place. But, you know, you think of Joseph's family, his brothers and their families, that would have been their future. And, of course, would the end for starvation is death. And think of what that would do to those that would have to do the burying, even though that they also were very, very hungry. And they would know that they were probably next after that. But number four, it says, Joseph had not forgotten what his brothers had done to him. What did they do?
Sold him.
Remember, he got sold. But it was better than what they had planned.
Yeah, they planned to kill him.
They wanted to actually just kill him. The brothers had a guilty conscience over how many years?
Wow.
About how many years? Just ballpark.
10?
15?
20 years.
I think 20.
It was probably around 25 or more.
25,
okay. Yeah. But think of that. Guilty conscience for that long of a time. And of course, they remember that the more they went to Egypt, they got a good dose of that time and time again, didn't they? Now remember, they're coming from a different culture, a different country. Egypt, did they look favorable on those that would come from Canaan?
No.
And why did they not like these guys?
Well, they were sheep herders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they worked with animals, close with animals, sheep, goats. It's going to be interesting to see how that all comes into play here later on as we get into not today's study, but future studies here. So that, you know, what I'm thinking here too, you know, this year is my 50th class reunion. And I'm going, after 50 years, I got guilt over some of the things that I said and did to my classmates when I was young and dumb. Mm-hmm. Now I'm old and still dumb. And I think of that, you know, that's going to be pretty interesting to see some of these classmates that you grew up with, you know. You were there from kindergarten with some of them. I mean, in kindergarten, I remember the girl that sat in front of me in kindergarten, and I'd take my pencil and I would pull her hair. Because it was on my desk.
Very common. Boys behind you were a nuisance.
And I can still remember turning around saying, "Cut that out, Timmy." So, I mean, you can carry guilt for many, many years. Thankful that Jesus forgives. And what does he do with our guilt?
Throws him as far as east is from the west. I like that.
I think of it too as an eraser. You can just erase the things that we have done through forgiveness. All right, the last one here is, what did God use as a way of reuniting the family?
The famine.
The famine. Yeah. Of all things, the famine. You know?
Hardship.
Remember what it was like the last 2 years around here. I mean, that 1 year was really dry. And I mean, we don't handle things very well, do we? Because we live in America, things should be better. And we should always have what we need. But when it gets dry and it doesn't rain, or you hear of other places where it rains, it's very easy that you can become a little bit jealous and envious. Or you just start questioning God. Okay, look, why aren't you sending the rains over us? Why is it over them? And we take that a lot of different ways, especially if you're a farmer, that's a big thing. We're connected with agriculture. All right, so today we're going to go into our study. It's chapter 45, we're on verse 9, to the end of the chapter. We're going to finish up chapter 45. So we'll read it before we get into our questions here. So, I think I started with Doran last week. He's not here today, so we're going to go on this side to the valedictorian of the class here. Dina, you want to start with verse 9 and read however you want.
Now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds and all you have. I will provide for you there because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute.
You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt and about everything you have seen. And bring my father down here quickly.
And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. Well, Benjamin wept upon his neck, and he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him.
When the news reached Pharaoh's palace that Joseph's brothers had come, Pharaoh and all his officials were pleased. Pharaoh said to Joseph, tell your brothers, do this, load your animals and return them to the land of Canaan, and bring your father and your families back to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you can enjoy the fat of the land.
You are also directed to tell them, do this, take some carts from Egypt for your children and your wives, and get your father and come. Never mind about your belongings, because the best of all Egypt will be yours.
So the sons of Israel did this. Joseph gave them carts as Pharaoh had commanded, and he also gave them provisions for their journey. To each of them he gave new clothing, but to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 sets of clothes. Mm-hmm. And this is what he sent to his father: 10 donkeys loaded with the best things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other provisions for his journey. Then he sent his brothers away. And as he was leaving, he said to them, don't quarrel on the way.
So they went up out of Egypt and came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. They told him, Joseph is still alive. In fact, he is the ruler of all Egypt. Jacob was stunned. He did not believe them. But when he told him everything that Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts that Joseph had sent to carry him back, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. And Israel said, I am convinced my son Joseph is alive, and I will go see him before he dies.
Yeah, doesn't that sound? You can just kind of picture some of these things going on here. All right, let's go to our study sheet here. It's first question is?
Hallmark.
Yeah. Could be a Hallmark movie. What orders did Joseph give to his brothers? What orders did Joseph?
Bring his father.
You know, and how were they to do that? Take their time?
Hurry.
It was like...
Don't take...
Mach schnell.
X years.
Hurry.
He said, don't quarrel.
When we get to that. We're going to get to that down there. So he says, hurry back to Canaan, and then come back to Egypt with everyone in your families. You know, it was kind of like, you know, get there and get back. But how long is that going to take? It's going to take a few weeks, maybe a couple of months before this all takes place. Number 2, the name of the region where Joseph's family would live in Egypt is blank.
Goshen.
Yep, Goshen. Goshen.
Land of Goshen.
G-O-S-H-E-N, Goshen. I have no idea really where Goshen is, but it's in Egypt. And it goes along that even when Moses, you know, when Moses was there,
it's right there.
The Israelites still lived in Goshen. Mm-hmm. When the plague of darkness came, all of Egypt was pitch black except for Goshen, where the Israelites lived. They had sunlight. Figure that one out.
Ask God.
Yeah. So very interesting. Three, there was a whole lot of crying going on. What do you think they talked about together? Look at verse 15. What do you think? It says this. It's at the very end, it says, afterwards, his brothers talked with him. This is after he kissed all of his brothers and he cried over them. It says, afterward, his brothers talked with him.
Well, I hope they said, forgive us, forgive us.
Right. Sorry.
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to be a fly on the wall at that time, wouldn't it?
He talked about probably his father, how his father was doing.
A lot of different aspects, and yeah.
And Joseph would have replied, "Hey, it's all God's plan."
Yeah,
they said that in another verse.
Yeah,
not that verse.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Bruce. Yeah. So regardless of what came up, it was all going to be better than Fox News. It's all
good.
It's all good stuff.
Joseph, in a way, I mean, they are his brothers.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was happy.
Or to find out about...
To have a relationship.
Who did you marry? I mean, how many kids did you have?
Sure, catch up. I mean...
There's a lot to catch up.
You know? Family.
Or they'd be saying, like, why didn't I recognize you before? Or, I was wondering if you...
What?
Why you ask some of these questions? Now it all makes sense. Asking about your father and the younger brother type of a thing. So, wow. So it was a great time. It was really a reunion of one you never forget, wouldn't it? Number four, what did Pharaoh and all his officials think once they heard about the identity of Joseph's brothers? Yeah, interesting. They were pleased knowing that. And they were sheep herders.
Yeah.
But they were pleased.
They're happy for Joseph.
So it has, you know, Joseph had to make quite an impression on all of these Egyptians in high places. I mean, it's a pharaoh.
Yeah.
So you got to think of how he handled himself in light of all that's going on in the country, that even the Pharaoh was pleased, and all the officials were pleased, knowing that his family showed up, his brother showed up. Now they'll go get him.
It certainly could have spun the other way.
Yes, it could.
Yeah, they could have. But knowing if you were a Jew, you know. But that didn't come up at all, that his background. Because usually that's the way it is. Once they find out that they're... followers of Yahweh, Elohim, Jehovah, that everything comes to an end. Because Egypt, they had many, many gods. You know, they worshiped many, many gods. And here you have Joseph, who only believed in one God that he followed. And of course, he got that from his dad, from Jacob, and Abraham and Isaac. Okay, number five, what did Pharaoh say to Joseph once he learned about his brothers?
Load up the donkeys and go get
cake carts.
Yeah, now think of that.
It's amazing.
They did not have to walk back. And it was Pharaoh who made sure that they took the carts or the wheels that were there, the donkeys, to pull them, or the oxen, whatever it was, to take all this stuff, modern day stuff at that time, and go all the way back to Canaan. And you think of what that would have looked like as they pulled into Canaan. There's a fly.
Yeah. Get it.
Oh.
Wow.
Your Bible
here, I got some.
Yeah. Oh, that's by your book.
Here, right here.
It never.
So we got a bell and a flute.
I'll get soap at home.
Sorry, there, Nancy.
Yeah, I know, you can't. I don't like flies, but fine.
He's dead now.
Yeah, he's all right. Gone.
In case you're listening to this tape, we had a great incident here about a fly that was bothering us, and we finally got him.
His blood is all over
His blood is all over Nancy's Bible. I will not shake anybody's hand today until after I wash. All right, where was I now? It's like, okay, when they come back to Canaan with all this modern-day carts and everything, that had to be something like a wow factor for these people. How could they afford this? I mean, there's no way they could afford buying it. They didn't go to any kind of a dealership that sold carts or wagons or things like that. All right, so Pharaoh says, load up their animals with the best of Egypt and then send them back to Canaan. So he's sending back an abundance of things. It's not just piddly little something, but he's making sure that they're going to be well taken care of on their journey back. And how many times do we see this abundance thing? I mean, we're going to see it again before we're done with the study. In abundance that God does give to those that honor him. Okay, number 6. Pharaoh made a point to tell Joseph that his, I don't know if there should be an S in kinsfolk or is it just kinfolk?
Kin.
That's right.
Is it kinfolk? Should not worry about what?
Belongings.
Now think of that. Tell them not to worry about what to bring to Egypt. Don't fuss over what you have. Because
all of Egypt's...
Yeah, Pharaoh's going to take care of them. Yeah. Pharaoh will take care of them. Now what would you want to take to Egypt? If it was you.
Oh, our pictures.
All those photo albums.
Photo albums.
Photo albums. You know? Well, I know my mom would want to make sure I had clean underwear. All the time. But.
What are you finding your mom wants to keep?
Let's not go there. Turn off the tape.
Just made me think of that.
Yeah. So 7, what did Joseph give to each of his brothers?
Clothes.
Yeah, he gave him a new set of duds. Some new clothes. He gave each of his brothers a new set of clothing. But when it come to Benjamin.
Oh, yeah. A coat of many like money. 5 sets of clothes and money, silver.
Yes. Yes, 300 shekels of silver. And 5 sets of clothes.
So are these Egyptian clothes?
More
yeah.
Likely.
Sure.
More
I suppose likely. They would be, yeah. Wouldn't they?
And then it moves on and says, what did Joseph send to his father?
Donkeys.
10 donkeys.
Oh, yeah.
What do you call a female donkey? Anybody know? Is there such a name for a female donkey?
Jenny.
Jenny. Okay, I couldn't think of it. I go, like, there has to be a name.
There is. But I wonder why the distinction. I mean, I don't know much about donkeys.
I'm glad you asked that. We're going to come to that. And so the donkeys were loaded with
grain and bread
and other provisions. 10 donkeys had the best things of Egypt that would go back with them. And that was all as a gift to Jacob, who's also known as Israel. And now, is this abundance?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely is. So again, we see the abundance coming out of what has been given in these gifts. First to Benjamin, and now to Jacob. Who got more? Jacob or Benjamin?
Depends on if you're looking at it on a
You know, it's kind of like Jacob really And I mean, what did Jacob do? I mean, he didn't do anything.
He made this mess in the first place.
Well, it was his boys type of thing. Yeah, he's the father of all this. But here the dad is going to be given much more than what his sons have received in return. And so there we come to that interesting thing that Joseph says to them as they are leaving.
Yeah.
Why would Joseph say, don't quarrel on the way?
Because he experience with it.
Do you think he knows his brothers' personalities? He knows the old nature of his brothers, what they're kind of like?
They're probably going, well, you threw him in the pit. You sold him.
In the Hebrew, quarrel means to be agitated or perturbed. And it's sometimes used preceding a fight.
Well, they're probably trying to blame the other guy.
Yeah,
for what they did, their guilt was right.
Yeah,
this came out of guilt. It's come out of guilt.
Joseph is reminding them that he has forgiven them. So there's nothing to fight over.
Yeah, that's so funny, yeah.
That's the grace that you see coming out of this whole thing. He still loves his brothers, and his dad, and their families that he's never even met, most of them. Okay, so I put in here at the time, I said, Joseph said that to add some humor in their lives, to lighten up. Yeah, now guys, don't fight on the way back home. You know, just lighten
enjoy
up.
Yourselves now.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah, and so it's like, what better way? I mean, how do you go back home knowing that you got to take all this with you to give? And to talk about what they found in Egypt and who Joseph is, I mean, it's incredible. So it takes us to the next question here. 11, how did Jacob handle the news about Joseph still being alive?
He was stunned and he didn't believe him.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The Hebrew word for stunned means his heart grew numb.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Interesting.
His heart grew numb. It was an unbelievable thing. We feel that way at times, though. We say, I'm just numb. I have no real emotions or no thoughts. I just feel numb. And so it's like he had to process this whole thing. They came back and said, Dad, you'll never guess what we've learned. The man in Egypt we're so afraid of, it's Joseph. And that means we better tell you what happened. What we did.
Yeah.
You know, this has been a secret within the family for over 25 years. Jacob never knew what really happened.
Jacob thought he was dead.
Yeah, and Jacob is thinking all along that he's dead. He's gone. He never at once thought he'd be alive at any moment.
Let alone.
And then for him to be told, Joseph is alive.
You think of, you hear all these stories where in war, people, like the family hears that their child, their mm-hmm. son is dead, and then the son calls, they were misinformed, mm-hmm. and they faint, you know, they just faint. That's like an extreme form of stunned,
yeah.
because you've got in your mind that they're gone, and it's a lot mm-hmm. to... You know, here right away.
Yeah, last one. Jacob, or Israel, is now joyful and at blank because his son is alive.
Peace,
yeah.
It says the spirit of their father Jacob revived.
Yeah.
So from numb, he revived.
You know, it's a lot like... The disciples, when they heard that Jesus rose from the dead, the resurrection.
Wait, yeah.
Did the disciples believe it right away?
No.
But there's a little bit of what's going on here that happens with the disciples. A little bit numb, stunned, like, he's alive. Because they heard reports, and then he did show up in their midst. Well, they go like, yeah.
It's good news, but do you dare believe it?
You don't want to believe it, but for Jesus, he wants us to believe that even today, he is alive. You know, he changes lives. And so I just think, you know, it's a lot like the resurrection of Jesus Christ, where the disciples went from real sadness and confusion. It all was turned to joy. And Jesus, what did he say to them when he first came into their presence?
Peace.
Peace be with you. You know, it's amazing. Peace.
It's what we're all seeking.
Well, and we want to give peace to people who are afraid of dying, of death, or just how things are going in the world, that we're in the world, but we're not of it.
You know, another thing is that how bad things happen to us, and then something good comes out of it. And that is another thing about this, too, because all of us probably can think times in our lives of things that aren't so good and turn out very good.
And it can take years before you see that.
That's right.
We want to see it now.
I know, we're patient.
And sometimes we have to look backwards to be able to see it. Yeah. We can't see it until we look back.
A lot of our growth as spiritual, you know, as Christians, a lot of the spiritual growth that we have or that we go through, it seems like we grow in what kind of times?
Hard times.
In difficulty. That's when we grow. And yet, what do we desire humanly, speaking?
Good times.
We just like things to go good.
Peaceful, yeah.
Peaceful, calm, smooth, a bed of roses.
Stay the same.
Yeah, and Jesus never promised us that. He just promised us his truth. And of course, the Apostle Paul, as we get into the book of Acts, especially, his message was always about what? It got him in trouble every time.
Paul.
What was his message that got him in trouble every time?
He wouldn't quit talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
He's the same.
Just Jesus.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's alive. So I'm going to a little preview of what's coming on Sunday. Paul is in Athens, Greece. And he, as he looks around, as he's into this big city, he sees that these are very religious people because he can tell by all the idols that he sees as he walks through the city. And the idols are, you know, like gods as well. But he comes across that one altar that says, to the unknown God. They prayed to a lot of different gods, but they thought, maybe there's one we don't know.
Cover the bases.
Yeah, we guess we're going to cover everything. And so we're going to pray to the unknown God. And then Paul says, well, you say he's unknown. I'm going to tell you how you can know him. God is known through his son, Jesus Christ.
He was the one they were missing.
You know, and so I mean, these are of the day, these are the most intelligent people at that time that existed in Athens. It was their philosophers that were there. And they liked, I picture it as like a retirement community. And they get their cup of coffee and they sit around and they talk about a lot of different things.
It's they like go to town and then chat.
Be like, well, we solve all the problems in the world today. But they're thinkers and they just like discussing new ideas and new different things. They're in Athens. And so there is the point on Sunday is there's going to be a woman at the very end who becomes a believer and follows the message that Paul gives to her. And to be thinking that it never has been easy to be a Christian in an un-Christian atmosphere. Athens was that place. This woman who becomes a Christian is one that a name that you would never even think of. And you'll find out who she is.
Is she the
this
one?
This Sunday.
This sells purple cloth.
No.
Not
think
her.
Of Lydia.
I am.
You're thinking of Lydia.
That's yeah. not Lydia.
You know, I was in Athens.
You were.
And I saw that mound where he. I was so compelled by seeing. Like when you've gone to Israel.